I'm Robin Amler of IBS Intelligence. You're listening to the IBS iViews podcast. With me is Ava Kelly, Chief Product Officer of Thread. And we are talking about trends in the payments ecosystem. What is it that is hot and trending right now, Ava?
I think some of the key things that are trending are things around identity verification, really to help out with fraud and really help issuers combat, you know, and protect their bottom line. So to me, that's one of the key things that's really coming out in the industry today.
How is that affecting the broader fintech industry? Because ID verification is not payments. It's part of the payments process. So right. What's happening in the broader fintech arena around ID verification?
Well, I think it really comes back to fraud. Fraud's an ongoing battle, and you know, it's often referred to as a race, but I like to think of it as a boxing match, you know, because the hits are sort of coming all the time throughout the life cycle. So, and it really starts, you know, at application fraud. You really need to know who's applying for that card. It could also be that your cards are intercepted in the mail, so the reason to need to activate your card. Also, online purchases is a big opportunity for fraud to happen, and you need to know who's on the other end of that transaction as well. And even things like BIN attacks, you've got bots out there. So it goes beyond the human realm of continuing to fight fraud, as well as charge disputes that happen after the fact. So you can see that it's happening all the time. Issuers are taking hits as it relates to fraud. So they really need a full suite of tools that's going to help them protect their bottom line, as I mentioned. And so ID verification plays a big role in that. So whether it's KYC, know your customer during that application process, I think that can really help. You know, you have to check the credentials. Things that are being used these days is, you know, taking a selfie and matching that to the government ID. You could also verify that against a database. So that's some of the tools there. CAPTCHA, you know, is used to sort of prove that you're a human, you know, when you're having to fill out, you know, how many hydrants are in the picture or stop signs, whatever it might be, to just make sure that it's you on the other side. You know, additional layers of security for online transactions. So that card is not present. So you have to validate that that is the real user through SMS, you know, one-time passwords or codes that you're going to use. And then I would say the use of biometrics is growing as well. So whether that be facial or fingerprints, that's growing to protect as well. And then AI models is starting to grow as well as some of the tools being used. So it's on the side, but it's there really to protect issuers from fraud and their bottom line in terms of their issuing experience.
How's this going to affect the user experience, though? Because everybody trumpets fast, friction-free, but there seems to be an awful lot of peddling going on furiously under the water.
Yeah, you're right. I think there's a lot of great uses for identity verification. So the user experience and enhancing that, I think, is one of the critical ones. So you've got the security side of it, but then there's also a seamless user experience because issuers want to stay top of wallet, right? So if that experience is sort of fraught with friction, so, you know, think about manual document checks, knowledge-based authentication, those can often be, sort of wrought with friction and inconvenience. So when you've got the opportunity for something like biometrics, an easier, more user-friendly way, that's going to balance the need of security with that driving a better experience for your customer.
And it doesn't matter whether the customer is either an individual or a corporate, you have to keep the process, the payment process, relatively simple. I'm not saying that people are stupid, but nobody is going to want to get hung up on a complex process.
Definitely. I think that is what is being sought after in terms of the experience is make it seamless. So if you think about embedded finance is a good example of, you know, what's happening today to really remove friction from the experience. So if you think about rideshare apps as a good example, I'm a big user of that because I think it just gives me a better experience. If you think about the convenience, when you pull up to the airport, you know, you're not ruffling around with your wallet and have the opportunity to kind of leave that in the car, leave your card behind. There's no awkward tip moment associated with that. So it just really makes it seamless in terms of your ability to have that experience, but not have to be rustling around with these various things. As a corporate user, so think about as a consumer as well as corporate, you know, I get out of the car and I never know where I stuff that receipt, that paper receipt. So the ability to just go online and be able to find that receipt again is makes it, I think, super simple. And your ability to go back and forth between your corporate card or your own personal card makes that easy as well. So I think embedded finance is another good way of sort of talking about a better user experience that you can provide in what is not a typical payment experience.
Now, the other pressure that's on, well, frankly, people like you and companies like yours is the changing regulatory environment, because that is catching up, is the way I think I would put it now.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing there is really tightening of regulatory requirements, such as you know, GDPR to protect data, or PSD2 related to customer authentication. And that's really necessitated a more robust identity verification processes need to be in place. So you can ensure compliance, you can mitigate risk, and you can also protect against data breaches. And if you've been to a payments conference lately, you're going to see big growth in this area. Almost, I'll say the majority of the booths are associated with this. So you're seeing more providers, more innovation in the space. As I mentioned before, the use of biometric technology such as facial recognition, that's really enabled more secure and seamless identity verification methods. We're looking at a solution right now with a company called Private ID, where they're using homomorphic encryption, where they can basically scan, you know, 26 points on your face, and that biometric data never actually leaves the device that you're on. And it turns it essentially into an algorithm or a math equation. So you've got the protection there of your privacy. You know, you're eliminating that opportunity for a data breach, but you're also dealing with fraud. So I think technology like that that's coming into play is really going to bring a lot more trust in the system, if you will.
Well, speaking of technology, I've managed not to mention this yet, but I'm going to mention it now, and that's AI and the use of generative AI. What are the use cases here within payments and within ID verification?
Right. Well, I think generative AI, you know, it's often used as a buzzword in our space, right? But it actually is a really good tool to help issuers mitigate the risk of payment fraud. There's a number of different ways that you can use generative AI to do that. The first is the fact that it's actually in real time. So generative AI algorithms operate in real time, and that basically allows card issuers to detect and respond to fraudulent activity as it's happening. And I think being able to flag those suspicious transactions allow them to then go out to the customer. So you want to involve the customer actually in this process. So if they can validate that they were the ones to make that transaction, then that's going to, you know, shore that up right away. And I think the other way that you could use generative AI is pattern recognition. So with generative AI, you've got the opportunity to really analyze vast amounts of transaction data. And that allows you to identify patterns, anomalies that might indicate fraud. And then you can also go right down to like your behavior analysis. So based on what your transaction behavior looks like, where do you spend normally? What are your normal spend amounts? So that becomes your baseline. And once that's established, if they start to see variations in that baseline, that's going to trigger fraud detection as well, and then start to send out those alerts. So there's a lot of different ways that generative AI can be used, whether, you know, the fact that it's real time, that pattern recognition, the ability to involve your customer, I think is really important. And then just being continually analyzing the way that you're looking at your data is going to help you combat fraud.
And this is a conversation I guess we could be having every year about how fraud is as we go into round 12, round 13, round 14 of what you described as a boxing match.
For sure. I think fraud is never ending, you know, so you get a little bit ahead with technology and then the fraudsters come back and they've got their own version of technology, you know, deep fakes. Technology is coming into play now. And so I think identity verification can play a role there, especially with the facial biometrics. That can actually combat that because, again, those 26 points on your face is what's validating who you are. So it just has to get stronger and stronger as the market keeps evolving.
I'm sorry, I just had a moment where I saw a boxing montage with Sylvester Stallone as Rocky.
Yeah, that works. You know, he could be your champion for sure.
Thank you very much, Ava Kelly, Chief Product Officer of Thread.